This week within the Jewish world, the Jewish community was, one could say, shaken at its foundations, particularly within the religious Zionist community, the Ulema Dati Tzioni. There were a number of, one could say, tragedies that befell the community and that really threw us into a whirlwind and for a spin. And my understanding, my belief, is that it's important, certainly not to demoralize, certainly not to speak about the person who is guilty, but certainly I do think it's extremely important and imperative for us to discuss the event, and at very least to be able to learn from it, so that hopefully these kinds of events do not occur or happen in the future. And I was very disturbed in the yeshiva where I teach, the Yeshivat Hesder of Kiryat Gat. Someone posted an article by Rav Aviner, and the article was regarding this particular tragedy, which obviously unfolded, revealing poor, immoral, unethical behavior by one of the leaders, one of the Rabbanim of the Olam HaDati Tzioni. I think everyone knows to whom exactly I am referring. And Rav Aviner within this article wrote how important it is for us not to discuss things about Gedolei Yisrael, not to communicate about these things. It's dangerous to talk about these things. It's not us who can possibly judge what our reaction should be or what action we should take. And when I was reading the article, I was very disturbed, because I have to say that I completely disagree. There's no question that we or I are not qualified to take action or to lay judgment. However, when such an iruah and ason, when such a tragedy occurs within the Jewish community, I think it is imperative that students be directed by the Rabbanim to be able to discuss what happened, both in terms of them expressing their feelings, their distress, their sense of being lost, and of course, also the Rabbanim's requirement to offer their students direction. What should be the reaction? How can we learn from what happened? And most obviously, how can we avoid and have warning signals so that such tragic consequences do not occur again? And while I was reading this article, one of the boys in the yeshiva was standing with another one of the ramim, another one of the rabbanim, and Baruch Hashem, I get along with everybody, I have no issues or tiffs with anyone. But one of the ramim was standing there, and when I said, what does he think about what Rav Avina was writing regarding what transpired with Rav Mati Elon, this Ram and this Talmud both said, in the yeshiva, we don't discuss these things. We should not and cannot discuss these things in the yeshiva. And I have to say, I was very angry. I said, why not? We don't have to look at our Rabbonim, and we don't have to see every single Jewish leader as someone who is embodied in perfection, can never make mistakes, is not heir or subject to human error. No. Unfortunately, we are surrounded by leadership, some of whom are excellent and who are able to lead the Jewish people properly, but sometimes, and we've seen this repeated throughout Jewish history, there are those Rabbanim, Tzadikim, Tamidei Chachamim, who, yes, make gross errors and in the end are subjugated to castigation, to be casting out from the Jewish community because of those errors and because of that immoral, unethical behavior in whatever way it exhibits itself. There was a Yochanan Kohen Gadol who entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, for 80 years serving as the Kohen Gadol, and in the end he became an apikores. In the end he rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the existence of a God. And therefore, we have to be aware and sensitive to the fact that our Rabbanim are not perfect, and they are prone to err. And if, God forbid, a Rav, a a leader of a generation does something which is tragic, which is horrible, which is immoral in its very foundation, in its essence, we have to be able to say that person made a terrible mistake, and we have to be able to say that we have to be more attuned and sensitive to those Rabbanim and leaders around us so that these mistakes do not happen again. And this is precisely what I believe is revealed in this week's Parsha, not in the Parsha of the Torah, that the Parsha that's discussed regarding Shaul HaMelech. We all know this week we approached Parshat Zachor, and how appropriate it is for all of us to be Zocher, to remember. Remembrance in Judaism is not merely a whim or a reaction, but it requires reflection. Remembrance means that we ingest and that we internalize all of the events around us so that we learn from the experiences that we're surrounded by. That's Lizkor. That's what it means, Zachor, to remember. Amalek is not something of the past. Amalek is alive and well, behoveh, presently, and in the future as well. And it's incumbent upon us to remember for the sake of preservation and perpetuation. That's what remembrance and how it reveals itself within the Jewish world. And so when we go into Parshat Zachor, we ask ourselves, what are we supposed to remember? The obvious is our enemy Amalek. But there's more to remember than just that. There's a reason why in the week of Shabbat Zachor, we read the Haftarah, which is taken from Shmuel Aleph Perek Tetvav, about the gross error and miscalculation that Shaul HaMelech did that cost him his entire kingdom and that blemished his name within the Jewish people as a result of the error, the mistake that he made. And when one looks at the text of Shmuel Aleph Perek Tetvav, the Haftarah that discusses Shaul HaMelech's mistake, King Saul's error, the Torah, I believe within the text, reveals a number of important insights for all of us to reflect upon. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, Oti shalach Hashem lemashecha lemelech. Shmuel says to Shaul, I was sent to anoint you as a king. Lemelech al Amo al Yisrael. To be the king over Amo, his nation, none other than Al Yisrael, on the Jewish people, on Israel. V'atashma lekol adivrei Hashem. And now go and listen to the words of Hashem. The question we have to ask ourselves, Rabotai, why does the Navi have to remind Shaul? Who exactly is the nation of, or the nation that you, Shaul, reign upon? Amo, his nation, and who is that nation? Yisrael. Why is it necessary to delineate that it's his nation, none other than Israel, the Jewish people? I believe that Shaul knows very well which nation he is ruling. There is no need for Shmuel to remind him of this. What is the meaning of the pasuk? I believe that what the Navi wants Shaul to understand is the importance of Jewish unity. Al Amo. When are the Jewish people, the Am, the chosen nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Yisrael, when they remain Israel, when we are united as one? Shmuel is emphasizing to show the importance of remaining and preserving the entity of Amo, Al Yisrael, of being a Jewish nation, united by one cause and united with one purpose, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only then does the end of the pasuk say, Ve'ata, now, Shema Lekol Divrei Hashem, listen to the words of Hashem. What does it mean, Ve'ata? Why now? The Navi's telling Shaul, at what point is a person prepared, is a person allowed to claim that he is now ready to service Hashem? When he first unites with the people, with Am Yisrael, then you can move on to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
And this is precisely what is revealed within the last few weeks of the Parshiot in the Torah that we read as well. The Parsha of Mishpatim begins with all of the laws of damages, of thievery, of having mercy upon Yatom ve'almenah, an orphan and a widow, all the laws that pertain to the realm of Bein Adam lechaveiro, man's obligation to his fellow man. Afterwards is the revelation of how man should relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. Only after the laws of Bein Adam lechaveiro, man to man, do the parshiot ensue, Parshat Truma, Parshat Tetzaveh, the parshiot requiring us to construct the Mishkan, the Kelim, the utensils, the Bigadim, the garments of the Kohanim who serve within the Mishkan, within the Tabernacle and the Temple. That is Avodat Hashem, Bein Adam Lemakom, man's obligation to God above. But that only comes after man appreciates and understands his obligations that he has to his fellow man. Shmuel emphasizes to Shaul, if you want to be a successful king, first you have to be sensitive to Amo Yisrael, then Shema Lekol Divrei Hashem. Only then can you service God after you service the Jewish people. And what happens? It is very clear the directives that Shaul receives. Pakariti et asher asa amalek li Yisrael. He tells Shaul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers what exactly Amalek did. Asher sam lo bederech ba'alotom mimitzrayim. As they placed themselves when Bnei Yisrael came out of Egypt. Why again does Shaul need to be reminded about what Amalek did? We all know, Shaul certainly knows, that Amalek is to be killed, destroyed, completely obliterated by the Jewish people because of the fact that they greeted the Jewish people when we came out of Mitzrayim up in arms. So why the reminder? I believe what Shmuel is telling Shaul is, there's a koach, there's a strength that exists within Amalek. What is it? They are indeed united. They are united to be destructive. They are united to cause chaos. But nonetheless, they are united. We don't agree with why they unified, but they are unified as one, preserving in whatever distorted way an ideology that they subscribe to. And that is why they are dangerous. For Bnei Yisrael to fight Amalek, we are required to be united, to be as one. That's what allows us to fight fire with fire. But what happens? Shmuel tells Shaul, Lech v'ikita et Amalek, Pasuk Gimel, v'echaramtem et kol asher lo, destroy everything they have, v'lo tachmol alav, do not have any mercy upon them, v'hameita me'ish adisha, kill from man to woman, me'olel v'ad yonek, from a babe to a child, mishor v'adse, every animal, migamal v'ad chamor. Every single animal should be destroyed as well. There are no stones uncovered here. Shmuel is very clear in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu what Shaul is supposed to do. But what happens, Rabotai? In the next Pasuk Dalid, we see the reaction that Shaul has to Shmuel's directive from Hashem. And what does Shaul do? Vayishma Shaul et ha'am, vayifkedem batla'im. The first thing that Shaul does in reaction is, he counts the Jewish people. Now the rabbis classically explain that counting the Jewish people is not allowed because it causes an ayin hara. It's not healthy to count in numbers. But I believe that there is more significance than just that. When a person goes and counts a people, what he's doing, the message that he is giving over, is that I am now splitting you into separate entities. If Shaul were to look at Am Yisrael as one unit only, without counting them, there would have been no partitions, no separations, no divisions. We are united as one. By counting B'nai Yisrael, Shaul made a statement, "We are not united. I am dividing you into various sections." This was the first indication of the mistake that Shaul HaMelech would make. And indeed, we all know, he has chemla, he has compassion, mercy upon Agag. He does not kill Agag. He does not wipe out all the tzon, all of the flocks, the herds, the animals. He doesn't kill all the women and the children, and he makes a gross error. Shmuel, after Shaul, does not fulfill the commandment. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayavo Shmuel el Shaul, Vayomer lo Shaul, Baruch atah la'Hashem hakimoti et dvar Hashem. Shaul says to Shmuel, "I have fulfilled the words of God." We all know that he is not. But to Shaul, he imagines that he has fulfilled the word of God. Interestingly enough, Rabotai, when Shaul talks about fulfilling Dvar Hashem, the words of Hashem, he does not say, Hakimotenu, that we have fulfilled Dvar Hashem, or Hikamnu Dvar Hashem. He says, Hakimoti, I have fulfilled the words of Hashem. In other words, Shaul is engrossed with himself. He's impressed with himself. He explains that I have fulfilled the Dvar Hashem, and he forgets about the entire nation. What happened to all of Klal Yisrael who fought with him, who enjoined with him for the sake of this effort? Yes, the effort was wrong, and he did not fulfill the mission. We all know that. But here, he does not even give recognition to the rest of the Jewish people. He is wrapped up with his own persona, with his own personal gratification. Vayomer Shaul, Me'amaleki Yivim Asher Chamal Ha'am Al Meitav. When Shmuel says, "What is the sound of these animals that I hear? All of the animals were supposed to be killed. Where is it coming from?" Now Shaul all of a sudden remembers the Jewish people. He says, "Asher chamal ha'am al meitav hatzon v'habakar." The nation, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, they had chemla, compassion upon the animals. Here Shaul all of a sudden does remember the Jewish people. When it comes to taking responsibility, when he sees where Shmuel's going with this conversation and demonstrating to him that he was wrong, all of a sudden Shaul remembers the Jewish people. It was Am Yisrael who had compassion upon the animals. He does not include himself to take responsibility. And finally, in Pasuk Chaf, when Shaul finally weighs up to the mistake that he makes, he says, "Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel, Asher shamati b'kol Hashem, v'aylech b'derech asher shlachani Hashem, v'avi et Agag ha-melech ha-malek, v'et ha-malek echramti. V'yomer Shaul el Shmuel, chatati, ki avarti et pi Hashem. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the words of God. Ki areti et ha-am v'eshma b'kolam. For I was more afraid of the nation, of the Jewish people, and I listened to their voice." Even here, when Shaul weighs up to the mistake that he makes, he does so by saying that I still listened to the popular voice of the Jewish people. Again, avoiding taking responsibility that he is the leader, that he caused the problem. This, again, is unacceptable. The Gemara in Yuma says, Vayarev Banachal, that Shaul made a kal vachomer. Shaul's calculation not to kill Agag, not to wipe out all of these Amalekites, he said, "I don't understand," says Shaul, "by the mitzvah of Egla Rufa, the Sanhedrin, the great law, the great court of law of the Jewish people, has compassion, sensitivity to one person who was killed." Says Shaul, "How could I not have compassion upon women, upon children, upon animals? What exactly did they do wrong that they should be so helplessly killed? Shaul made this kavachomer. He made this calculation. What? L'shem Shamayim, in the name of God. What was God's response? God said back to Shaul, Al tehi tzadik harbe. Don't be a groyser tzadik. Don't be such a great righteous person. In other words, this pasuk I told my students is probably the most important response that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to all of Jewish history. What God tells Shaul is that it is not up to us to decide what it means to be righteous. Righteousness is defined by God and by no one else. Let us understand, how many human tragedies have occurred during the long course of history in the name of doing what is righteous, in the name of doing L'shem Shamayim, in the name of Tzidkut, because I am a righteous person. God says, you do not decide what righteousness is. I decide what and how that righteousness is exhibited. This was the mistake that Shaul made. It was not up to him. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us. The directions that He gives to us. That's what we're supposed to fulfill. Nothing else, and nothing subject to our personal interpretation. Anything else is not what God would expect. Unfortunately, throughout history, there have been rabbonim, leaders, politicians, diplomats, who have made gross errors and miscalculations. And sometimes they're not willing to take responsibility for what they did. And they wave the banner saying, everything we did was L'shem Shamayim, for the sake of righteousness. How, when we ask ourselves the question, could a Rav behave in such an unethical, immoral fashion? How could he have exhibited such behaviors? We don't have to judge that Rav, but we have to judge what happened. Why? Because it teaches us, when a person is given leadership, power, when he is embodied with a complete position of authority over a large group of people, there's a tendency to convince oneself, to become enthralled with oneself, as did Shaul HaMelech, and to begin to say, I will decide what is righteous. I will decide what is considered Tzidkut in the eyes of God, not according to God's calculations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not up to you. You cannot come forward and say, L'shem Shamayim, for someone who behaves in such a fashion is subject to terrible consequences that are damaging and that can cause terrible repercussions within the Jewish world, as happened with Shaul HaMelech, where all of Amalek could have been destroyed. The enemies of the Jewish people could have been thwarted, but they were not. And as happens to this very day with certain Rabbanim's behavior, whereby they walk and say that they are leaders and they demonstrate their religious observance as they show their charisma and dynamism by leading a tremendous amount of youth and Jewish people and claiming that they are indeed their leaders. And in the end, one sees exhibited an immoral and unethical behavior. How does this happen? By two things. One, when one begins to think about themselves without taking into mind or into account the statement of Al Amo Al Yisrael. Amo, it is God's nation. Which nation? Yisrael. The way to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the sensitivity that we have to one another. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And when a person hurts someone else or destroys what someone else believes in, there is no way for that person to possibly attain the high spiritual existence of attaching oneself and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way to Hashem is the way that we behave to one another. the way that we have compassion, sensitivity, and demonstrate a certain level of ethical behavior for the sake of each and every one of us to benefit from and to learn from one another. And the second thing is not to take responsibility for one's action, but to place it in the name of Shem HaShamayim, in the name of that I was just doing what I thought was righteous. That is not acceptable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I decide. Out to Heat Tzadik Harbe. I do not ask anyone to be more righteous than what I decide righteousness is. When we go consistently according to these guidelines, this is what keeps us on the straight and narrow and avoids us from straying afar from the Derech Hashem, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us. This is why it is so crucial and important for Talmidim to hear this message, so that they understand that when it comes to Judaism, there is no room for personal calculations, there's no room for personal grandeur, there's no room for a person to decide what righteousness is. No. Just follow the ways of Torah. Ve'ata shema Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokecha shu'el mi'imach ki'im li'ira'oti. What does God ask from you, Jewish people, other than fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And indeed, this is the reaction that Esther and Mordechai have in the time of despair, when they saw the Jewish people's existence was threatened. Mordechai walks around mourning, demonstrating that he indeed knows what righteousness is. And Esther comes and says, my dear Mordechai, this might work for you, but we are not concerned only with you. We are concerned with the entire plight of the Jewish people. And she says, Lech Knos et kol haYehudim v'tzumu alai v'al tochlu v'al tishtu laila v'yom. Go and gather all of the Jewish people and fast and mourn and pray. Why? Because the way to arrive at a Kadosh Baruch Hu is through arriving with one another, united with the proper causes of serving Hashem and with spiritual subservience, getting closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yehi Ratzon, we should never have to talk about terrible tragedies and terrible misguided leadership within the Jewish people. It's unfortunate and horrible and terribly sad when these things happen. However, our Kadosh Baruch Hu expects none other from us than at the very least to learn from the experiences, as difficult as they may be, that are thrown our way. This Purim should learn as, should be used as, and should be viewed as a learning experience, to be able to remember the criterion that allow us to survive and that allow us to be called Amo Yisrael. Our Achdut, our unity, our desire not to look at ourselves, but to look at the people around us and how we affect one another. And as a result of that, we'll be zoche to once again, Hadar Kiblua Bimea Chashverosh, to be mekabel the Torah afresh and anew, to begin a new page in Jewish history, a page of vibrancy, a page that perpetuates and resounds with the words and the messages of spirituality and Torah. Purim Sameach lanu ulechol Yisrael.